Focus with Jessica Strutt on ABC Radio Perth.
Hello, it's lovely to be back with you for Focusing 2020 and our first program of the year. I missed you, and I hope that you missed Focus as much as I did. I'm wondering, did you have a break? And if you did, I hope it was as relaxing as mine was. Maybe it's just a distant memory by now. Look, I don't know about you, but over the break, I tried to switch off from the news at least a bit. But it was hard, wasn't it, to ignore those devastating fires over east. For me, one thing that stood out, I suppose, amongst all the devastation was I felt a lot of pride for our country, our resilience, our mateship, and particularly the vital role played by volunteers in our community. Their work is inspiring, and it really does tend to lift our spirits and give us hope in a crisis like that. Volunteers form the backbone of so many Australian communities, and it got me thinking about how are the numbers holding up in WA in a world where, you know, we're all fairly time poor and the demands of work and home just continue to increase. So what does the future of volunteering look like? Well, let's find out. Together we'll stand, divided we'll fall. Come on now, people, let's get on the ball and work together. And that's right, working together, that's what it is all about, volunteering. And I want to know, do you volunteer? What do you do? Why do you do it? And what do you love about it? In a bit, you're going to hear from Tina Williams. She's the CEO of Volunteering Western Australia. She'll paint the big picture for us about what's going on. We'll also hear from Craig Spencer. Well, he volunteers in so many capacities. I'm not even going to list or name them all because quite simply, that would be half the show. So let's just call him a volunteering addict. And he also happens to be chair of the WA Volunteer Community Reference Group. But first, Matthew Petch is a 35-year-old father of three young kids. He's with the Kalamunda Volunteer Fire and Rescue Service. He's recently returned from helping to battle fires in Queensland. Matt, what was it like battling blazes in Queensland?
Oh, well, Jessica, it was probably the best word to describe it was intense. We were deployed to Queensland southwest and the area which we were focusing on the fire when we arrived was 900 hectares. And within the 6 days of being there, it broke out to in scale of 20,000 hectares. So it had a very massive rate of spread. The conditions over there were extremely drought affected. And they were fuel loads which were very, very high because historically they had such high rainfall. And then on the back of 2 years drought with extreme temperatures and extreme wind and conditions, and you throw fire into the mix of that, and it just made a very intense situation. But one that I was very fortunate to be able to help out and it was a great experience and a great challenge all round.
Pretty different conditions to the ones you would battle here when you're fighting fires. So? How different?
Just more so, high fuel loads, which we do have in the Perth Hills and surrounding, but just the drought-affected area. So I was having a conversation with a local farmer, which property we were defending, and he had been keeping records, rainfall records, for the last 20 years. And he explained that over those 20 years that they averaged around about 2 metres of rainfall per year. And in the last 2 years, they only had 15 centimetres for each year. So when you're looking at 2 metres of rainfall, that creates significant fuel loads. And then you have 2 years of drought. So those fuel loads are very, very dry. And you throw into the mist strong winds, high temperatures, and it just creates very unusual and very intense fire behaviour.
So volunteering with Kalamunda Fire and Rescue Service is a bit different to the day job.
Absolutely. As a day job, I'm a teacher, so I don't get to see the sunshine too much, and I'm confined to four walls. But look, when the fire call comes in, that gives me a fantastic opportunity to be amongst the community and to help our local community and be a part of it.
What year do you teach and where at?
I teach year six at Kalamunda Primary School.
Hello, all of you children at Kalamunda Primary School listening in today.
Yeah, hello to my students, past and present.
And future.
And future.
When you go
yes.
back and
Absolutely.
Future. Okay, so what made you join up as a volunteer? Because I know you've done some other jobs before you went to Kalamunda Fire and Rescue Service. So what made you sign up to want to be a volunteer?
Yeah, well, as an individual, I've always had a desire to help people, and I love being part of the community. Also, as an individual, I like to learn new skills and accept new challenges and work together with other people. So volunteering in the Fire and Rescue Service has meant that I've been able to achieve all of my desires, basically, in that respect.
I'm wondering, Matthew, when you make that decision to go and volunteer on the East Coast and those pretty terrifying and intense situation you just explained to us, what kind of a conversation do you have with the wife and the kids?
Look, that's definitely a very interesting conversation. I'm very fortunate. I've got an extremely supportive wife. I hope she's listening, and also
sure she is,
and family alike. So. The conversation that you have is very honest and it's very frank. But I think from you see the despair on a nightly basis on the news and you read about it and hear about it. So it is a pretty easy conversation to sum up and to go and help other people in times of crisis and times of need. So I'm very fortunate that I can help out with the skill set that I've been entrusted with.
Is there a level of trepidation though? Loved ones letting their loved ones go off to, what a pretty hairy situations.
Look, absolutely. And really, in all honesty, they're the ones who are affected the most about these kind of situations because enter a situation and a job and you apply your skills very objectively and obviously the loved ones which are left behind, they're the ones that have the time to think about what you're doing and are picking up the pieces behind. So, there's no question that it affects them significantly.
You talked about having that conversation with your wife and your children when you make the decision to go, but what's it like when you're out there in these dangerous fire situations? I understand this was your first time volunteering in Queensland. How much of an impact does it have on them and how much contact did you get with them, Matthew?
Yeah, contact was limited at times, given that you are in an area which has no reception from time to time, so you don't have the opportunity to communicate. We were doing long shifts and obviously fatigue does set in as well. You try and have as much much communication as possible with your family. When you do, you love hearing their voices on the other end of the phone. But it is a challenge to actually have the time to communicate and have those conversations back home.
And the kids are starting to get to an age now. I think you said 6 and 8 and 2. So the older ones, they're pretty conscious of what's going on. That dad's in a pretty dangerous situation.
Yeah, my 2-year-old, obviously, her perspective, she would just miss her father and miss her dad. And the 6-year-old is somewhere in between where he's got some understanding of what's happening in the eastern seaboard. Whereas my 8-year-old, he was probably the one who found it had the most difficulties, where he was very upset. He obviously watches the news and is aware of what's happening in Australia, and he obviously has a little bit of a fear there of that maybe you could be affected by fire and the implications for firefighting in those kind of conditions.
You said you're a teacher on holidays, of course, at the moment up at Kalamunda Primary School. How good is work at accommodating your volunteering work?
Look, my employer is the Department of Education and Training, and my line managers are extremely supportive. I'm very, very fortunate in that respect. My principal, he has been a volunteer in the Fire and Rescue previously in Southern Cross, so he's has the awareness already of volunteering. But both the principal and deputy are very, very understanding and very flexible. So it's extremely accommodating, and it means that I can help fulfil that role as a volunteer.
Roughly how many hours do you reckon you do a week or a year? Do you ever sort of try and keep a note? I know, it's hectic because you're not just doing fires, you do rescue as well. You go to car accidents and other, tragic incidents. Have you got an idea of how many hours you do a week?
Look, I'm sorry, I don't. I've never actually stopped to consider the actual hourly basis. Kind of correlate our based on numbers. So the brigade attends roughly about 150 incidences a year, and so will it. I'm lucky enough to, or fortunate enough to be able to attend to probably about two a week. So I'd never actually. Some incidents can be very short and be tied up very quickly, where other incidences can take a long time. You can be working on a day or a night, or they can be more prolonged.
ABC Radio Perth, that's right, where you were just Strutt on the Focus program. First episode of the year. Tina Williams is the CEO of Volunteering Western Australia. It's the peak body representing hundreds of volunteer organisations around the state. Tina, I'm wondering, how many West Australians volunteer?
Well, the statistics that we have for volunteers in Western Australia is 600,000, but that research was done 5 years ago now. We're hoping to redo that research this year. And I would estimate that that number has grown an awful lot over that time.
Any evidence, even anecdotal, I suppose, on whether there's a rise or a decline in volunteering in the West Australian community?
Look, I'd love to say that there's been an increase. I'm not so sure. I think what we are seeing, though, is people wanting to volunteer differently. And that also sort of comes back to our generation. So younger people are putting their hand up more now for volunteering. We have around 40-odd% of young people volunteering, and they like to volunteer short-term, more sporadically. So possibly for events or what we call virtual volunteering, which is a lot of online and doing social media for organisations or on the end of a telephone.
Now, that surprises me. And if you just missed that, Tina's saying younger people are actually stepping up to the plate. We're always, you know, sort of bemoaning millennials, but they're actually stepping up. They're volunteering in bigger capacities, you're saying, than ever before, but in a different way. So when you say events, what kind of events would a younger person want to volunteer for?
Generally community events. So, for example, the City to Serve, Volunteering WA has an annual event for homelessness each year called Homeless Connect, and we have a high proportion of young people who want to volunteer for that event, and they come back year after year after year. So it's about really for them to follow the things that they're passionate about. And once they get into that, then generally they stay in some form or other, you know, throughout their working life into retirement.
So these younger people who we tend to sort of, as I say, dismiss as not being community orientated, you're actually seeing that it's almost opposite.
Yes, yes. That's what research is telling us, but also our data tells us that. So we know for sure the responses that we get from young people when they apply for volunteer positions on our website. We know that they're the ones that are applying for the most positions, and the types of positions that they apply for are those shorter-term volunteering positions.
Let's go to a caller. I've been asking you this morning, do you volunteer? What do you do? Why do you do it? And what, most importantly, what do you love about it? Suzanne has phoned in. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning.
What do you do? You're a volunteer?
Yes, I suppose you could say professional volunteer because I've been doing it now for 12 years.
Oh, fantastic. Tell us all about it. What do you do?
When I decided to volunteer, I decided to do it internationally. So I went over to Kenya with a volunteer organisation and saw the need and thought to myself, well, you know, sometimes the money doesn't get to, you know, the right places, and I can make sure it does. And so I decided to send up, you know, do my own thing over in Kenya. And so through volunteering, I've built my own school and my own orphanages.
Wow. And that, I mean, that's a huge commitment. What do you get out of it? What do you get? What do you think it gives you?
One can't look for what it gives you. It kind of comes. But what I get is that I'm just an ordinary, everyday person and I can make a difference. You know, I've made a change in people's lives. Not just as volunteering, but also too is that volunteers come to Kenya and I see the changes in them, you know, through volunteering as well. So they can also too see that it's not just necessarily money. Money's good. There's no doubt about that. It can, you know, save a lot of problems. But one, when one gives of oneself in volunteering, it's an enormous difference that it can make to, well, let's say a child. They know that they're not forgotten personally. We can throw money at them, but when a person actually comes, it's far more valuable sometimes.
Suzanne, thank you so much for sharing your story. Suzanne there sharing, she's been volunteering for 12 years, as she said, she's almost a full-time person. Is it a difficult decision for people, Tina, to make the decision about whether to help their own local community or go overseas, because we know the need there is also so great?
People tend to just follow volunteering for their passions. It's got to be something that they're drawn to and they're really interested in and what gives them purpose. And that is different for everyone. It really is. There's a lovely quote by Mahatma Gandhi, is the best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. And that's what volunteering does. It gives people a reason and it's something that really appeals to them individually. So whether that's overseas or whether it's, you know, in your local neighbourhood or in the city of Perth or wherever it may be, it tends to be something that you have a real connection with. And along with that comes a whole host of other benefits too for that person. Whether if they're young, it could give them more confidence, help them build skills for finding a job in the future. Or if it's an older person, it helps them, you know, become more socially connected, you know, and so that they can make a difference in their own local community. So we all do it for different reasons. And I think that's the important thing. It's choosing something that you personally feel passionate about, because then you're more likely to continue with that volunteering. And also, I suppose, coming back to try before you buy. In terms of, you know, you don't have to jump in at the deep end into a volunteer position that's going to be a day a week for the rest of your life. You know, you can choose to go and try something out first before you make that decision, which I think volunteering allows you to do that.
I want to bring you in here, Craig Spencer. As I said at the start, well, we could almost call you a volunteering addict. You've got a numerous roles in the community, but you're also chair of the WA Volunteer Community Reference Group. How important is that point that Suzanne and Tina have just touched on, of finding something that you're passionate about if you're going to go and be a volunteer?
Look, I think that is the critical thing for people, because there's so many different opportunities across the spectrum. If we think about everything from, you know, we talk about response stage of a bushfire, but it's also the recovery stage of these sort of natural disasters. But also there's an ongoing need for people dealing with homelessness, places like food banks. So I think if someone's got a particular personal passion, there will definitely be a way that they can support that through volunteering.
Okay. And now the role of the WA Volunteer Community Reference Group is, can you explain that for us?
Yeah, look, the state government established it, and it was really a way to bring together some of the different voices from across the volunteering sector to support the government hearing directly from the coalface of volunteering and what the barriers might be to some of those organisations attracting and retaining volunteers. But also there is a WA volunteering strategy, so it's about supporting the government in understanding how best to implement that.
A couple of texts have come in. This person says, thanks, Matthew. That's Matthew Petch, who's a school teacher, been telling us about his experience in Queensland fighting the fires. He says, thanks, Matthew, for speaking so well. Your story is similar to mine. Ninth season bushfire service volunteer. Volunteering teacher, Southwest Queensland deployment in September, and in it to give back to the community. So thanks for that text, correspondent. Elizabeth has called in and she is also a volunteer. Good morning, Elizabeth. What do you do?
I visit a nursing home and I also am a prison fellowship visitor and visit the prison.
And how long have you been doing this for, Elizabeth?
Well, I've been visiting the nursing home for about, well, over 25 years now, and I've met such interesting people who, you know, have to go into care, and it's been a lovely experience for me, and it's certainly a help to them because you can do little bits of shopping for them and do little things for them, and some of them don't have any other visitors, so it's a very long day, 24/7, a very long week to not have many people coming into your room, and if you're a fairly able person in a nursing home, you don't have many staff visiting either because you don't need them. And so it makes their life much richer, really, to have someone coming in, reading the paper or just bringing in news in from outside, what you do with your family or what happens with you. And they're always very pleased to see me. So that's rather nice too.
Now, Elizabeth, most people who volunteer, as you've just been explaining, you're doing it to give back to the community, but you also get things from volunteering. Can you talk through what you get on a personal level in terms of the work you do with the nursing homes you visit over 25 years?
Yes. Well, it's just the satisfaction of knowing that you're helping someone else who would be rather sad and miserable without your visits and without a little bit of help from you. And one of the ladies, I'm doing her washing because she doesn't like it to go to the home, because she often gets things mislaid. So she has nice things, so I'm doing her washing for her. But it's just the satisfaction of knowing that you're making a contribution to make someone else's life richer.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for sharing your story of volunteering. I want to get into, Craig, the idea of corporate volunteering. That seems to be a growth area. Am I right? And if so, why is that the case?
It certainly is. And I think actually WA can be quite proud. We've led the way in Australia. So we established a corporate volunteer council many years ago, I think about 2010. And it was really bringing those like-minded corporates together. For many of them, it really was about staff engagement. So it was an opportunity for their staff to be engaged in something within the community, to build their own skills. But acknowledging that many corporate employees have some fantastic skills that many charity organisations, would love to access. So it was about finding a way to do that well.
Now, it's not just the big corporates. We tend to rely on the big corporates, but you're hoping that we can actually further that out. And can you explain why?
Yeah, look, I think we talk about that, and there is some fantastic corporates leading the way there. But acknowledging too that many West Australians don't work for large corporates, they work for small to medium enterprise organisations. So it's finding ways for those organisations to enable their staff to volunteer as well. And I think part of it is them understanding that it returns for the organisation as well as the staff. So particularly if you're a business that's trying to engage in a local community, it's a great way for that business to build their own profile as well as developing the skills of their people.
You're also a volunteer bush firefighter.
Yeah.
When Matthew Petch from volunteer fire and rescue talks about the impact on families, you've seen a fair bit of that in the role you play?
Yeah, look, I've been doing it for a little while as well, and similar situation. It can be quite challenging. Our brigade is the Bindoon Brigade up in Chittering Shire, and we've been to a number of incidences over the years where there's been like a critical incident. Often it is the partners, they might hear about things through a Facebook page or radio chat or something else. So, we have a bit of a ritual in the brigade that whenever we get a moment in between fighting fires to pick up our smartphones and just send a quick message to those that might be worrying, just to let them know that everything's okay.
Okay. Now, you were talking before, Tina, about the increase in young people, but the fact that they like to volunteer in a different way, in those less traditional ways. Does that create gaps then for the more regular spots?
Yeah, absolutely. It does create challenges. And I think a lot of the work that we do at Volunteering WA is around working with the organisations to look at how they can change those volunteer positions or look at volunteering differently within their structures and providing those services. So that could be redesigning positions so that they need more volunteers but shorter timeframes, training volunteers differently. So there's a whole range of things that we can look at in that space.
Is this a difficulty going forward for organisations then? Transferring from the idea of those very traditional, very hectic, I suppose, more stringent hours that you've got to get up, more structured, I suppose, to the idea that younger people want to do this in a different way?
At any volunteer position that requires a lot of training, a perfect example is emergency services. The training that, the likes of Matthew and Craig will go through to actually get to the point where they can go out and fight a fire takes a very long time. And, they have to perform and have a really great skill set. And the same with, people that are on the end of a lifeline or people that are supporting others in nursing homes or any sort of specialist role that volunteers do requires training and then therefore a longer commitment. Now, we'll always have people that want to do that type of volunteering. I really believe that. But we also need to address our society as it's changing and people's needs are changing going forward. And that is definitely, the trend is definitely towards those shorter term, more sporadic volunteer positions.
Is this something the government's well aware of, and what role can government play in supporting organisations that rely on volunteers to keep up to speed with changing trends, Craig?
Yeah, I think it is, and this is part of what we've looked at as part of our volunteering strategy for the state. It's acknowledging there's many different ways to volunteer, and I think there's the impact of technology and how people can volunteer through technology as well. I think of a great example at Perth Museum a number of years ago where they needed people that could sit down and go through archival records. So it was a perfect volunteering opportunity for someone who, you know, may not have the physical mobility of some others, but they could sit there and do that. So there's always ways to find a volunteering opportunity that can fit people's needs.
What about burnout, Matthew, and I'll ask Tina and Craig afterwards, but with a role like yours, you're saying the phone rings and there must be sometimes a feeling of obligation and a tendency to take on more and more. Do you ever feel burnout, and how do you manage that and that sense of obligation as opposed to doing something because you actually want to do it?
Yeah, fatigue is a big factor, and you see it firsthand. I guess as well, you can't be complacent. You can't stand back and say, look, I'm tired, I can't attend that incident. Also, it's probably more of a balancing act where you may have a call out during the night and early hours of the morning, and it's a case of managing that throughout as the day progresses and making people around you aware of that, and people are always very supportive. We did see that across in Queensland, particularly on our last night when they were communicating with the local 20 brigades and trying to get one extra person to man a truck, and fatigue had just well and truly set in, and they couldn't muster up one extra person. There was somebody on station who was willing to go out, and they just couldn't muster up that one person. So you can see that fatigue does set in, and it's just a case of managing that fatigue as best as you can.
And being that you do this yourself, you probably can emotionally connect with how they must be feeling. You've probably felt that battling blazes here in your own district near Kalamunda.
Absolutely. And look, that was one of the main reasons for wanting to serve the deployment across in the eastern states, because you could well and truly understand that the fatigue has set in, and people have been working on fires for months and for a prolonged time, and fatigue does set in very, very quickly.
As well as the fatigue of something that's a physically demanding volunteering role, what about burnout more broadly, Tina Williams? And I'm thinking, having volunteered in previous roles in my life, if you're good and you're keen, people ask you to do more. If you want something done, ask a busy person. So how big an issue is burnout, and how do you... What advice do you give to people who do volunteer about having some boundaries, I suppose?
Definitely set your boundaries. I think make a commitment and take on the work that you want to take on. But there's always a point at which you need to say, well, this is more than what I can do. And that's going to impact on my volunteering and other parts of my life going forward. It's not all negative, though. I think the important thing is that, you know, we rely on volunteers very much in our regional areas where we have huge percentages of people that volunteer, like 50% of people in a community would volunteer in a rural area. And often, you know, we hear reports that they wear 3-4 different volunteer hats and they manage it perfectly. And all their family come in and volunteer too. And it's just ingrained in their life and it's part of their everyday life. So I think really it's down as well to the organisation to look at those volunteers and spread the workload a little bit more, but not take advantage of those people that do show up week on week, you know, week after week in that sense.
Yeah, look, and I think it's about thinking of volunteering as a portfolio. So a bit like your investment portfolio, you need to think about what it is you've got on. And I think myself, I've got an arrangement with my family that I won't take anything else into the portfolio unless I drop something off. Occasionally works, but it also means that, you know, people can often find that counterpoint to what their day job might be. So whatever their passion is, you know, they can go and do that sort of side hustle, and it's a volunteering thing. sometimes that's a longer-term commitment, sometimes it's a short-term one. I think that's a great way to get that balance so that you don't burn yourself out, because you've got to manage it yourself.
That portfolio management, has that come about because there was at some point a bit of angst? Because I can imagine I've seen people in families, and there can be a tendency where people, parents do, they take on more and more, and the kids suddenly go, hang on a minute, Dad, you said you were going to take me to the soccer. So is that how you came up with that portfolio reshuffle rule? Was it a discussion that the family had?
Partly it was that. It was also just my own personal interests and that of my family and also where we live. And so it's really just about wanting to get back to the communities that we're part of. But I think Tina's point is relevant. If I think of our own bushfire brigade, we've got a couple of families where it's dad and two sons. So the captain and his two sons are in it. One of the guys has also got his family in it. So it's great that we've got that family connection as well. So volunteering is also very social. So for a lot of people, I think it's an important part of being part of their local community.
How social is the Kalamunda Fire and Rescue Service, Matt? I'm considering I might join if I ever come and move out that way. How social are you guys?
Oh, we are very social, and that is a key point as well, to have your partners involved on the journey, and they love being a part of it as well. But we are very social. We conduct many activities on station and off station, and try and get our partners involved as much as possible. So that's it's fantastic to have that social aspect as well with volunteering.
And the feedback from loved ones, partners, husbands, wives and kids, is that something that you've consciously worked on to get that support there? Because as we're hearing, the support of families and loved ones is so important to people being able to have that time to volunteer.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is something that as a brigade and the brigade's definitely worked on, just to have everybody involved and part of that process. My children love being a part of it, and it prompts many great conversations with them about volunteering and the experiences and that you get to have.
You were Jess Strutt on the Focus program talking today all things volunteering. This person says, "G'day Jess, I donate plasma monthly at blood bank. I do it because I can, and I'm up to 108 donations. Jan, that is a tremendous effort. Well done. 108 donations." Sharon says, and this one's directed to you, Tina, a lot of younger people are obligated these days through work to volunteer. Is that maybe why there's more young people volunteering? It changes the spirit of volunteering. That's Sharon's view. And I think there's also unis. There's a few unis that make people do it. Do you think it does change the nature of it if you've got to tick a box to, I suppose, graduate from a course, or if maybe work saying you can only, you've got to do a certain number of hours?
Oh, look, I think what it comes down to is certainly many of our universities in Western Australia, and also our schools, have volunteering programs and volunteering hours. And it's a way of introducing young people into their communities and into the organisations that make them tick. I feel very strongly that, the earlier people get into volunteering, the more likely they are to stay in it going forward, and often for a lifetime. So it's really important that we actually do engage with young people early on in the piece.
Train them up.
Absolutely.
I mean, like you do with a partner before you move in with them, you make sure that they know the basics, how to do the washing, clean out the fridge and do the vacuuming. I think that's a good point. What do you think, Craig?
Look, I think it's an interesting thing too for those organisations, corporate organisations or businesses doing volunteering. I've never seen it work well when they're forced to do it, because if they get voluntold, it ain't going to work. So the businesses that are really smart about it will never sort of force their staff to volunteer. I think most of the models I've seen in Australia, it's more about finding the opportunities and enabling staff to get involved. I think part of that is it's the importance of having good volunteering management as well. So there's many good, smart charities, and shout out to one great example, Food Bank, where they've got a business model where they rely upon corporate volunteers to come in as their labour in the kitchen. So it's an essential part of their business. But what's critical to that is managing them well, so that when they come in, they're getting put to really good use. So I think that's part of the secret. It's not just turning up to a charity and wondering what you're going to do. It's actually having a really well-structured program.
Managers are important, aren't they, Tina? Explain the role that people who manage the volunteers play.
Oh, they play an absolutely crucial role within organisations. Without volunteer managers and having that real great structure in place, then you've got a workforce that doesn't have any direction. So absolutely, we have Volunteer in Australia also has the National Standards for Volunteer Management, which is a framework that organisations can have a look at and see and base their programmes on. So that's a great resource that people can access via our website as well.
You were talking about, Craig, not forcing people to do it, and the corporates that do it best are the ones that don't force people to do it. Mum forced me to do dishes when I was a kid. I kind of like it now. Mm. I don't have a washing machine. So is there a little bit, though, of people might, as and I think you referenced before, Tina, that idea of try before you buy. Is there a bit of that to volunteering where sometimes if people get a bit of a taste, they end up wanting to do more? Do we see this?
Oh, yeah, look, definitely. I saw that through some of the corporate volunteer programs I've been involved in, and often it is that bit of a try before you buy. And for a lot of those charities, it was a great way for them to attract potential volunteers. So, sure, the corporate person might volunteer for a day or half a day, but inevitably they'd go, geez, that was interesting. I want to know more. And I think that's one of the best ways that many of these community and charity organisations can identify potential volunteers.
I think it also puts the emphasis back on volunteer management, because when you go and have a volunteer experience and you have a really good one and the volunteer management and program is amazing, of course you'll go back. And, you know, that just really highlights how important that program is and volunteer management is within those organisations.
How's it played out for you in that way, Matt? I think you said part of it when you first got involved was a bit about keeping fit as well, because you were having some sporting injuries. But is it, have you found your desire to do more increases as you've sort of enjoyed at different aspects of volunteering?
Absolutely. As your skill set develops, you continue to develop in the amount of time that you can give and the different things that you'll commitments which you'll put your hand up for. So absolutely, you do commit more and more as time goes on.
How do we go at comparing to our eastern states counterparts in our terms of our volunteering, Tina? Are we up there, or are we punching above our weight as West Australians always do?
I think we're punching above our weight, without a doubt. We're about in the middle, to be honest. ACT is the best state for volunteering in terms of percentages, followed by South Australia. We kind of come in third place with Tasmania, and then the other states follow. But I think the thing is about Western Australia is that we're very unique geographically, and that we have a lot of regional and rural towns that rely heavily on our volunteer workforce. And so they bolster up the numbers for us as well. Within our cities, we do have a lot of people that engage in volunteering. We also have a lot of structures in place to help them do that. And if I may mention, we have 29 volunteer resource centres throughout the state that people can actually go to and talk to professionals about volunteering and about volunteering opportunities. And we also have step into volunteer sessions that people can access and go along and learn about all of these different positions that are available to them, learn about their rights and responsibilities and the types of things that they can do. And we'll direct them then to all the websites that have volunteer positions in them. One of them is Volunteering WAs, but also GoVol, SeekVol. And if somebody logs on to those websites right now, there's over 12,000 positions that they can choose from. And that's a whole range of different opportunities.
Let's go to Ralph in Busselton. Morning, Ralph.
Oh, good morning, Jess. How are you?
I'm well. First day back, so a little bit of, you know, a little bit of nerves, but I think I've done okay, Ralph.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back. I've missed you all. Now, you volunteer. Tell me about it. What do you do?
Yes, I get involved down at the Busselton Jetty as a jetty host, and also with Busselton Marine Rescue. So a couple of great organisations that do good work in the community, and jetty hosting is brilliant because you meet people from all around the world that are visitors to the jetty, and we help them on and off the train, and the conversation you have are just amazing.
Tell us a little bit about how the host works. You're showing the tourists around that beautiful historic jetty down there, are you?
Well, we're actually welcoming the people to the jetty.
Right.
We help them if they're going walking, we just check their ticket and we have a chat as they go through off to walk the jetty. But those that catch the train and go to the underwater observatory, we check their tickets and have a chat while they're waiting to catch the next train. So we help them on and off the train and have fantastic conversations with them. And just generally, socially wise, it's a brilliant outlet, as well as helping thousands of people that visit Busselton.
Ralph, beautiful spot, and well done to you. Always nice to hear locals are involved in helping out the tourists as they visit that nice spot down there in Busselton. Colleen's called in. Morning, Colleen.
Good morning.
What do you do? You volunteer as well?
Yes. Well, my husband and I, a huge part of our life is volunteering in Byford, and I'm the president of the Byford Progress Association. We pick up, got a team of people. We pick up about 2,000 to 3,000 bags of rubbish a year.
Wow.
But the main thing we've just been involved in, both the Progress Association and the Byford Fire Brigade, Volunteer Fire Brigade, we decided to raise money specifically for a small fire brigade in New South Wales, the Wandandian Fire Brigade, because they have a very small town of only 328 people and they need a shed. So we have been busy over the last 2 weeks at shopping centres, at events, and we've also put up, the Progress Association has put up 1,000 of our money and the Fire Brigade has put up 5,000 of their money, but we're up to about $13,000 to buy the Wandandian Volunteer Fire Brigade a new shed.
Well done, Colleen, and I'm glad they've got someone, you and your husband, running that Progress Association down there, because there's a lot of progress happening in Byford. It's a rapidly
yes.
changing place from the place we used to go to buy chickens as children. So lovely to hear your story of volunteering, and we appreciate that. Now, Tina, before we wrap up, you've got some awards. You know, you've got your annual volunteering awards, and I know you're always keen to get people to nominate some of the best, and I know it's a, you know, it's a highly sought after area. Tell us, so it's opening soon?
Yes, the awards will be opening at the beginning of February, but it was interesting just hearing Ralph. Our award winner last year was a guy called Trevor Fisher, and he was from Busselton as well, from the Men's Shed. So obviously volunteering is alive and well in Busselton, but we want to hear from people from all over our state. And I think it's just so important. The awards are a way of recognising what people are doing in your local communities. And the more we can showcase that, the more we can promote volunteering and get more people involved.
A big thanks to Tina Williams, the CEO of Volunteering WA, Craig Spencer, Chair of the WA Volunteer Community Reference Group, and of course, Matthew Petch. We wish you all the best with the new start to the new school year that's coming up in a couple of weeks. And thanks for all your time telling us about the work you do with the Kalamunda Volunteer Fire and Rescue Service.